Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family. Downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 50, The Apple.
The Apple. Hey,
BIMS all the way.
Hey,
BIMS all the way. So what's BIM?
What is BIM? That's a good question, because, I mean, The Apple is all about BIM, and yet they never really say what BIM is. But we'll tell you what BIM is in a moment or two, so don't worry about it. This is The Apple. This is a phenomenally fucked up musical from 1980, and this movie is notable because it was written and directed by Menachem Golan, who is
one of the mastermind geniuses behind Canon Films.
Canon Films, whom we love. I mean, along with his partner Yoram Globus. I mean, these are the guys that distributed all those movies that we love, such as
Ninja 3, Cyborg,
Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. Boogaloo, that comes to play in this one. So, I mean, this is the beginning of Canon. This is, so Menachem Golan basically came over here with this idea, this dream in his heart to make this movie called The Apple that was going to be his Tommy. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the next Ken Russell. This was going to be his musical that was going to be like this grand statement. And what he ended up doing was making one of the most infamous pieces of poo-poo I've ever seen. But at the same time, it's quite awesome. So, I mean, when the movie begins, it's not the Eurovision Song Competition.
No, because that would be copyright infringing.
Right.
So it's the World Vision.
The World Vision Songwriting Competition. Amazingly enough, it's a competition of all of two competitors.
Two competing acts, from one country, or two countries,
two
I
countries,
guess.
Yeah, we start off with Pandy and Dandy, and we don't really know where they're from. Although, I mean, by the Teutonic singing of Pandy. Was it Pandy who was the man, or was it Dandy?
Dandy was the man. He's sort of, to reference The Who, he's sort of a Roger Daltrey kind of character.
Right.
And they're dressed kind of like showgirls, with like gold stripes down the middle of their foreheads, and these sort of condom bodysuit kind of outfits. Really insane. It reminded me sort of like of Parliament Funkadelic from the 1970s.
Yeah, definitely had that sort of vibe. Yep, there was a Clinton-esque vibe to it. And, so, you almost expected Bootsy Collison by any second and the mothership to come down. But yeah, I mean, the way it began, it's like, give me a B, give me an I, give me an M. What's that spell? BIM.
Yeah.
BIM. Hey.
BIM's we got the BIM or whatever it was.
Yeah, we got the BIM. We got the power. Anyway. way, and then all of a sudden the audience has glow sticks. Where the fuck did that come from? But anyhow,
and the audience is going nuts for this duo. And as we said, there's two main competitors vying for the title of World Vision Songwriting King. Mm-hmm. The other one is a queen. It's a sort of a folk duo in the vein of sort of Ian and Sylvia, sort of a Canadian folk duo.
Well, they're
with an acoustic guitar, very incongruous, and they're called Alfie and Bebe.
Alfie and Bebe, and I mean, you have all the places for them to hail from. They come from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and they're very Osmond-esque. I mean, very wholesome, and you know, they kind of remind me of like. Have you seen Llewellyn Davis, the Coen Brothers movie?
No.
Okay, well, there's all these, like, you know, shitty folk accents and stuff, and, I mean, they remind me of those shitty folk accents.
Well, she's got a bit of an Anne Murray, kind of bland Canadian style.
Very up with people, you know, singing their you know, with their acoustic guitar, and amazing enough, after that, like, show-stopping, you know, mothership hailing performance by the BIM group, or Pandy and Dandy, they sing the song and they bring the audience to tears, right?
Yeah, initially they bring the audience to tears, but little do we know that behind the scenes, because, you know, literally, I guess, you know, pop music is being manufactured. Mm. And so behind the scenes, you've got this guy who's this record company mogul named Mr. Boogaloo.
Mr. Boogaloo,
and
He
has Pandy and Dandy signed to his label, and he doesn't want this competing act to win the hearts and minds of this audience. So he disrupts the folk duo's performance with a high-pitched squeal.
Right. He gets his I'm going to say, like, I feel bad saying this, but he gets his Man Friday, his Mr. Shake, who's sort of like an African-American gentleman.
Yeah, he's like Chris Tucker from The Fifth Element.
Yeah, he basically looks and acts like Chris Tucker in The Fifth Element. They get him put on the red tape, and all of a sudden, this high-pitched screeching sound is emitted throughout the audience, and they start to boo and everything. However, Mr. Boogaloo, this is so bizarre. I mean, but by the way, I mean, he's basically, okay, this movie is very allegorical in a very heavy-handed way. I mean,
Boogaloo Beelzebub.
Yeah, he's supposed to represent the devil. Yeah. I mean, I gotta say the name of the actor that plays Mr. Boogaloo. I don't even know, like, just to say the name is hilarious. It's Vladek Shebal.
The great Vladek Shebal.
The great Vladek Shebal. Yeah, I mean, this guy, I mean, not only is he sort of running this competition, he's the head of BIM.
Mm-hmm.
BIM actually stands for...
So now we know what BIM is,
Boogaloo International Music.
Yeah.
And,
I guess,
Body Mass Index as this is BIM. BIM... And so, I mean, like, the reality is that,
we're a little tipsy here.
Yeah, I was going to say we're a little like, that movie we just finished watching put us in another plane of existence altogether. But anyway, we should say this is not happening. I mean, this movie came out in 1980, but this took place in a far-flung
future. In
1994.
When Pearl Jam and Nirvana were ruling the airwaves.
Except Pearl Jam and Nirvana, it's fucking Pandy and Dandy and Alfie and Bibby. But anyway, I mean, the reality is, even though Mr. Boogaloo... it's so ridiculous. Even though Mr. Boogaloo sabotaged Alfie and Bibby's performance, mm-hmm. he took a liking to them, and he realized that there is some sort of potential.
Some sort of star power, and he sees that they could be a money making act, and he offers them a contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, so he invites them to the BIM party, and this is this ridiculous party where it's BIM this and BIM that, and all of a sudden one of his. Minions, who we said looked a bit like Pierre Noon from Herman's Hermit. He's like, you know, he's saying, oh, we got our BIM glasses, and we got our BIM... And then he says, here, and I got the BIM something, or the BIM crest. And it's basically a sticker that he affixes somebody's forehead, and all of a sudden he goes, well, now you're BIMionized.
Yeah.
So,
This was after poo-pooing. Speaking of poo-poo, he poo-pooed the idea of t-shirts to promote BIM artists.
Said,
that's so, like, yesterday.
Right.
We need something new and fresh.
A prismatic,
sticker that you can stick on your forehead.
Yeah, it's, you know, slightly metallic. I mean, this is new and fresh. But anyway, so Bibby and Alfie, and they go to this BIM party in hopes of securing Mr. Boogaloo. Every time I say that, it's like I cannot, as an agent. And
this causes, you know, a little acrimony and friction.
I mean, they're from Moose Jaw.
Yeah,
they're from the Sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Conair. Yeah. Oh, they're tempted with this gigantic glass of champagne.
Right? Yeah, but Alfie will have no part of it.
Alfie will have no part.
And he will have no part of this contract either, because he smells a rat immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to read the contract and take
How dare you?
Yeah, I know. And he says something to the effect of, oh, in America, you know, the agent gets 50%, some such nonsense. And he says, oh, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Meanwhile, she is determined to sign on the dotted line right away.
Well, I mean, she drinks some champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
She takes a pill. Before you know it, he's locking lips with...
Before you know it, and we should say Alfie and Bibi are a romantic duo.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
But, before you know it, Dandy... Or the label mate of BB starts putting the moves on this woman, you know, and she's into her cups, she's into the champagne,
mm-hmm.
and then this Rod Stewart, Roger Daltrey doppelganger starts to put the moves on her, and uh-oh. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, does she see the light?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, I mean, so, you know, she all of a sudden, she becomes like, you know...
He's the snake.
He's a snake, yeah, well, that's, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that in a moment or two, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the end of Alfie and Bibi, and Bibi becomes a...
Both as a romantic and a singing duo.
Yeah, yeah, and Bibi becomes a solo act, and although... It doesn't quite go so linearly. I mean, they mm-hmm. go to this meeting with after the party,
yeah,
and they are introduced to Ballet 2000.
Yeah, and Ballet 2000 is I guess a sort of a showgirls-esque futuristic Vegas act who's also trying to vying for attention from this BIM, you know, label
Boogaloo. Yeah. And they sing, they dance and sing a song.
which has to be seen to be believed.
Right, and Mr. Boogaloo actually sings a song.
With them, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the lyrics...
The lyrics, this absolutely incredible. There's also futuristic stainless steel trombones, like triangular, isosceles triangular trombones.
There's random clarinets.
There's a tap number with a guy wearing a pink velour suit
mm-hmm.
in the midst of the showgirls thing, and this is taking place in what looks like to be an airport, but this is the headquarters of BIM, and it's just at that point,
Mr. Boogaloo, who looks like a cross, in my opinion, between like an emaciated Kim Coates from like Sons of Anarchy,
yeah,
a bit of like F. Murray Abraham as well, and he's singing these lyrics like, you know, like a baby watching magic. They're so easily deceived,
yeah,
and I mean, this, you know.
How is a baby watching magic? Like, a baby would be deceived by anything. Like, you just go, like, you put your hands in front of your face and go, where did I go? Ooh! You
know? Exactly.
It's deceived. Like, where's the... Yeah, there's inexplicable, like, bizarre lyrics, and this guy, mustachioed guy, singing along with this showgirls act. Yeah. At this point, like, what... we don't know where we are. We don't know what to make of this thing.
Okay, so... I mean, obviously, Bob Dylan didn't have a hand in writing his lyrics. I mean, there's no subtlety in this. I mean, so before you know it, I mean, you know, this is the whole contract signing, mm-hmm. and they're in hell. They're in hell.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, and then he says, you know, first you sell it, then you make it. That's marketing. So he's already invested a lot of effort into this duo, or single act.
Mm-hmm.
They descend into hell, and this... It's almost like a Cats dance number just breaks out with these guys wearing like goat masks, and they've descended into this Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Right.
And
at this point, you know, it's no longer the gigantic glass of champagne, it's the apple.
This is where the apple is introduced. Yeah.
And this is the temptation. And so we have Dandy, right? This is Dandy. Dandy is a male.
Dandy is... Yeah. The guy,
Dandy is wearing a codpiece, right? a thong codpiece.
There's a lot of banana
hammocks in this movie, but anyhow, and he's trying to tempt
Bibi
into tasting the apple, right? Mm-hmm. And Pandy, is that her? Pandy is trying to tempt Alfie, and
So they cross. I guess the two duos are crossed,
and then we have
romantically.
This, so I mean, obviously, I mean, this is like, you know, this is biblical symbolism, mm-hmm. you know, temptation, the Garden of Eden, but there is no subtlety whatsoever.
No,
and then we got this
it's
song,
a wife
like,
swap kind of thing
we get,
going on.
Yeah, then we got some, taste the apple, eat the
eat
apple,
the apple, taste the apple, juju apple,
voodoo apple,
voodoo apple,
wicked apple, da 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 da, it's the apple.
with my son, Dandy, Bibi.
Hi, Dandy.
I've been waiting for you.
What about her?
Don't worry about her. She's my sister.
Cheg! Yes, master. Bring the hors d'oeuvre, our special hors d'oeuvre, my special hors d'oeuvre, the apple. Bring the master's special hors d'oeuvre, the apple!
Don't be afraid. Taste it.
Mystery Apple, take a little ride. Let me be your guide through the Apple Paradise. Choo-choo Apple, voodoo Apple, take a little bite. Spend a splendid night in our garden of delight. It's a natural, natural, natural desire. Meet an actual, actual, actual vampire. Let the apple set your soul on fire, fire, fire.
So yeah, the Pandy, the, you know, the very attractive black half of the Pandy and Dandy duo, seduces Alfie in this incredible dance number. Yeah, featuring gold banana hammocks and I guess copulatory sort of choreographed thrusting. Right. And we should say at this point, this piece of shit was choreographed by Nigel Lithgow.
Nigel Lithgow.
Who many of you will know from Dancing with the Stars.
And also American Idol. He's the exec producer of American Idol for the first number of seasons. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, and then so this whole thing with the apple, I mean, Bibi bites the apple. So,
yeah.
You know, there you go. I mean, so now she becomes this, you know, singing superstar, and Alfie goes back to Moose Jaw, and. And then all of a sudden, you sing this song about speed. Remember that?
They have this song, but it's backed up by a bunch of backup dancers riding motorcycles. But lest you believe this is about, you know, two-wheeled racing, you know, across the Pacific Coast Highway. No, this is about speed, the drug. So, but it's also got, you know, not very thinly veiled references to the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it's got here red, white, and blue, but that's referring to pills and not the stars and stripes.
Yeah. America, the land of the free, is shooting up with girl energy, and every day she has to take more speed. America, the home of the brave, is popping pills to keep up the pace. Every day she cries out for more speed. From New York out to LA, everybody does it her way. Pumping power by the hour. Speed. I can feel the earth start quaking when America starts shaking. Pumping power by the hour.
Yeah,
the whole
Bowen
thing is this
never
this
about subtlety.
No,
I mean, you mentioned about the song about Pity or Bibby or Diddy or whatever, where she's trying to seduce Alfie, and like, you know, the song is like, come into me, and all
yeah. The copulatory,
dance
number was set to, yo, I'm coming for you, and not very subtle.
I mean, the whole song was about coming, and everyone's wearing banana hammocks, and it's not subtle at all. So this song is about speed, and, you know, it's
how everyone's, just pumping themselves full of pills, basically.
Yeah, we should mention, too, that Bibi, is played by Catherine Mary Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
It was her film debut, and she was in movies like The Last Starfighter, We Get Bernie's, Night of the Comet. She actually had a career after this, whereas the guy who played Alfie...
Yeah, who?
George Gilmore or something like that.
Who? So he wasn't Roger Daltrey. Yeah. Like he went on to do Zero.
IMDb is known for The Apple. Filmography, The Apple. Anyhow.
Yeah.
But what I find hilarious, too, is that Mephistopheles, i.e. Mr. Boogaloo, you know.
Yeah, the evil record company executive.
Not Electric Boogaloo, just Mr. Boogaloo, right? That was later on in the Cat and Bag of Tricks. He keeps singing these songs about how evil he is, and you know how devious he is, and how you know like what he, you know, all the things he's planning on doing, and yet they trust him, despite his singing.
Yeah,
if a man sings songs saying I'm evil and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna take you over and I'm gonna eat the apple and it's gonna, you know, choo-choo voodoo apple. Why do you trust this man? Anyway,
well, maybe it's like, you know, Mariah Carey and the guy from Sony there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we should also say there's this, just, you know, some of his hench people, I guess we should say, his, you know, his second in command is Mr. Shake, the Chris Tucker character.
Yep.
He's got various, you know, African Americans under his employ.
Yep.
And he sings this cringeworthy
number about being a master.
Lyrics from which are, you know, I know how to be a master, and slaves are guaranteed, and they're singing like the backup.
It's very discomforting. It's this up-tempo number, and I mean, you know.
I know how to be a master. I don't know.
Tonally, this is like all over the map. I mean, there's allusions to, you know, Nazi Germany and the Holocaust.
Yeah, I guess like, as BIM becomes to take shape and takes more prominence in culture, and police on the take start, you know, enforcing that the populace, I guess this is set in Berlin, that they have to wear...
It was filmed in Berlin, but it was supposed to be set in America. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and the populace is mandated to wear... A BIM sticker, which is like a triangle. So then it sort of allusions to the Holocaust in a way. And National Socialism is replaced in this dystopic future with a national fitness program. So at 4 o'clock, everything comes to a halt.
Right.
And we mean everything. There's an operation taking place in the hospital. The doctors put down their scalpels.
Mm-hmm.
And they all pay homage to this record company.
Yeah, and that's also very Orwellian too. Like that's straight out of 1984, and I mean, everything grinds to a halt, and all of a sudden
everyone's singing the praises.
Choreographed. Yeah.
The Gestapo type cops are like swinging truncheons to the tune of, you know, hey hey hey, BIM's all the way.
Oh my
and
God.
Like this.
Tonally, this is all over the map. I mean, you know, I mean, Menachem Golan, I mean, the guy, you know, he was an Israeli immigrant. He came to America to realize the American dream, to become a film producer, a film director. I mean, and if he wanted to make a statement about, you know, fascism and that sort of thing, I mean, is it disco musical?
Yeah, like, not, you know, the place to do it.
No, not at all. But that's why we love him so much, right? You know?
Again, you know, this is, you know, this... deal with the devil, sort of like Robert Johnson when he sold his soul to the devil to be able to play guitar. Well, you know, Bibi sold her soul in a way to Mr. Boogaloo, and you know, her, you know, estranged partner tries to come to her rescue. Why, I'm not entirely sure. She's cuckolded him, and she's signed a deal worth millions and tours the world, but, you know, he's trying to save her still. He's, you know, he will not be, you know, kept back. So he tries to release Bibi from her contract comes for her. And that's...
Literally and metaphorically, and I'm coming for you.
I don't even know how to... He ends up
With a commune of hippies
who live under a bridge. Speechless.
No, I mean, look. This movie.
This is a fucked up movie.
Batshit insane, right? I mean, there's no two ways about it. Anyway, he ends up with this commune of hippies, and at one point, one of the hippie leaders says, "You know, we're all about peace," and he says, "Oh, peace! I haven't heard that word
in a long time,
in 30 years, you know, because remember, this is 1984, 1994.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then through some piece of
Deus ex machina.
Yeah. Bibi realizes the error of her ways, and she tries to
Yeah.
To reunite with Bibby and
With Alfie.
With Alfie. Oh my God, man! Pandy and Dandy and Bibby and Alfie. It's a tongue twister, you know. Anyway, they're all in the park. The BIM stormtroopers come, you know, marching on.
Yeah, and then all their truncheons to try and beat down these hippies, and you know,
this gold Bentley.
Yeah, the gold Bentley descends from the heavens.
Mm-hmm. And a man dressed in white walks out, you know, and he says, not to call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah.
They call me Mr. Tops.
Yeah, they call me Mr. Tops. Yeah. Yeah, dressed in diaphanous and billowing white robes. He's blonde, so obviously he's the Luke Skywalker to the other guys.
Well, he's basically,
Darth Vader.
He's God. To Bigelow, or not Bigelow, Beelzebub. Boogaloo, whatever the heck his name is.
And this spaceship Bentley descends, and like a doomsday cult, these hippies start ascending into the heavens to enter this Bentley golden spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in a nutshell, is the apple.
That's supposed to represent, you know, like going to heaven.
The triumph of good over evil.
Oh, good over evil.
Ultimately.
And Mr. Tops, who's a... he goes, I'm going to start a new...
He's going to start a new civilization.
Right. And he's going to say, and without
like
you.
A new utopia. He's like the founder of the Mormons.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
just going to found a new civilization.
So, if this description came across as somewhat convoluted and bizarre, just think what it was like to watch this movie. Honestly.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Mental. Really mental.
But some really, really
incredible music.
Some great music. Some really, really, really catchy songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
what did you learn from the apple?
What did I learn? Oh my God! I mean, I got to learn so much about theology. I learned about God, the meaning of life, the universe, everything. I mean, Chris, what did you learn? Tell me what you learned first.
Well, I learned that when vetting new talent for the record company, they actually have studio time, which costs hundreds and thousands of dollars, and they actually let people just come in, record stuff, and then they just vote on the material right then and there, and just gainsay it, or just dismiss it, or accept it right there. Now, why they don't just sit back and let people record demo tapes
exactly.
and just, you know, vet them there, who knows, but...
This is Alfie trying to resuscitate his career. And they're like, no, it's not for us. it's kind of funny because, you know, like, okay, so, I mean, this is like 2015, right? So now we're 20 years, hence the apple, and, you know, the music industry is in a precipitous decline.
They're just latching themselves on to try to hitch their wagon to any sort of media property that'll help boost their shitty stable of artists. Like, I'm thinking of The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently suffered through the finale of American Idol, featuring, you know, just awful performances all around. I'm surprised you never mentioned Apple, the Beatles.
Well, I mean, you know, but I mean, don't forget, I mean, this is the Apple. I mean, this is like, you know, this is the Garden of Eden. I mean, this movie is imbued with, like, religious significance.
Yeah, it really is.
Malcolm Golan, I mean, the man, like I said, like, he's trying to make a statement here.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Not one for subtlety, that man.
No, not at all. Hmm. Not very prescient either, because he figured that in 1994, the world would be ruled
dominated
by
record companies.
One record company, BIM.
Yeah.
Boogaloo International Music.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, I mean, the man was not much of a soothsayer because it's not the way things turned out. But you know what, man? What he did give us was a really...
A gem, yeah.
A gem. I mean, I'm going to say a really shitty movie, but an entertainingly shitty movie.
Yeah.
What do you give it, Chris?
Oh, this got to be... Oh, I don't want to do one of my quarter reviews, but this is between 3.75 and 4-star. Like, this is just absolutely mental. Like, we thought Xanadu was fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
This thing is just that.
This makes Xanadu look like my dinner with Andre.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's how fucked up this movie is.
Yeah. That's why we're just completely flummoxed at a loss for words.
Rhinestone
with this thing.
is a Bergman film.
Yeah.
This movie.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is...
Four, yeah.
You got to see this movie. This is a must-see. So I'm going to say 4 stars. I'm going to say, hey, 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 BIM all the way.
Yeah.
Four stars. And yeah, I mean,
and reallyawfulmovies.com all the way as well. Check out our site. Interviews, giveaways, reviews, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.